Planet Earth spins in space. Large gold letters with a black shadow form the word Universal and MCA Company in front of it. In an underwater animation, pale bubbles rise towards the surface along with a small aquatic creature, like a green lizard with spines along its back. Drifting up with the bubbles, it watches a tiny pink crustacean wriggling in the water nearby. The creature swoops towards its prey, but misses and starts drifting upwards again. A string of larger bubbles joins the tiny surfacing ones. A huge cloud of bubbles bursts upwards from below and disperses in the dark blue water. Smaller bubbles follow. Words appear. A Lucas Spielberg presentation. Another ballooning cloud of bubbles blots the words out. A Don Bluth film. The words ripple and dissolve into the water. In the shadowy depths, the lizard-like creature darts among waving aquatic grasses, chasing the tiny pink crustacean, which stays just out of reach. The green creature swoops past a looming silhouette of a fish with alligator jaws. Right after catching and swallowing the pink crustacean, the green creature is very nearly snapped up by the fish. It darts away between the water plants. In another part of the depths, waving kelp is pulled up by the roots. Title: The Land Before Time. Many turtles with long front flippers swim through the water as though flying, leaving trails of bubbles behind them. They drift behind a jutting shelf of rock.
Once upon this same earth, beneath this same sun, long before you, before the ape and the elephant as well, before the wolf, the bison, the whale, before the mammoth and the mastodon, in the time of the dinosaurs.
A triceratops heard.
Now the dinosaurs were of two kinds. Some had flat teeth and ate the leaves of trees. And some had sharp teeth for eating meat, and they preyed upon the leaf eaters. Then it happened that the leaves began to die. The mighty beasts who appeared to rule the earth were ruled in truth by the leaf. Desperate for food, some of the dinosaur herds struck out toward the west, searching for the Great Valley, a land still lush and green. It was a journey toward life.
In a misty swamp, a gray dinosaur with a single horn eats water plants from the shallows.
It was a march of many dangers. Sharp teeth stalked the herds, waiting to seize any who strayed. The leaf eaters stopped only to hatch their young.
An egg in a mud nest on the ground shakes and cracks. Then 2 feet with 3 clawed toes burst out. A small green dinosaur's head and body follow. The grinning baby rolls down the side of the nest, chasing a winged insect nearby. Still partially enclosed in its shell, the baby dinosaur hops after the insect until the rest of the shell breaks away. The baby's climbing into a toothy mouth when its mother snatches it away.
Mama!
The mother returns it to the nest, which is full of siblings. She nuzzles her baby. A Triceratops tribe is also hatching, with 3 bouncing babies and 1 still half inside its egg. Its parents watch it straining to break free, and it runs into the nose horn of its mother until the shell breaks clean away. The baby blinks at its parents.
Some of the young seem born without fear.
The baby charges its parents, then rubs its head. It scampers under its mother with its siblings as rain pours down from the stormy sky. In the swamp, huge dinosaurs with long gray necks stand in the water eating pond weeds. On the bank, one unhatched egg jitters in its nest among the reeds. Something inside it pushes outwards without breaking free.
Yet, even hatching could be dangerous.
A predator steals the egg, but its guardian bowls the thief over and the egg goes flying. It bounces down the length of a dinosaur skeleton and rolls through the mud beyond, then along a tangled root system into a stream. The egg drops over a waterfall and bounces onto the damp bank beneath, disturbing a cluster of lizards.
One herd had only a single baby, their last hope for the future.
The gray baby hatches, tail first.
And they called him Littlefoot.
He looks around.
Here I am.
His towering mother leans down towards him, and he topples backwards as he watches her face approach his. She licks him all over, and although he hides from her tongue at first, he soon relents. Beaming up at his mother, he sticks out his own tiny tongue and licks her face. She nuzzles him, and he clings to her nose, then shrinks away from the amphibious creatures that creep out of the swamp to look at him. He trips over his own feet.
Don't be frightened. Come out.
He peeks out from behind his mother's foot at the various swamp creatures that have gathered to greet him. He wags his little gray tail and curls up his plump body with its pale underside. Yawning, he snuggles against his mother, then backs away when the curious swamp creatures come closer. He tries to run, but trips himself again. His mother lifts him in her teeth.
All that remained of his herd was his mother, grandmother, and his grandfather. He knew them by sight, by scent, and by their love. He knew they would be together, always.
Now, you be careful, my little foot.
Sitting astride her long neck, he yawns widely and looks up at the faces of his grandparents bending over him. He snuggles down in a fold of his mother's skin.
Beautiful little foot.
He closes his eyes. Daytime in a barren land.
Mother, is this all there is to eat?
Oh, I'm sorry, my dear. The land has been changing. That is why we must walk as far as we can each day until we reach the great valley.
Littlefoot chews on dry twigs.
Littlefoot, quickly, come here. Look, up there. A tree star. It is very special.
She plucks the star-shaped leaf with her teeth and brings it down to Littlefoot. Sparkling dewdrops pool in the center of the leaf. Littlefoot leaps and bounds.
A tree star.
It is very special. And it'll help you grow strong. Where we are going, there are so many of these leaves.
Littlefoot covers himself with the leaf like a green sheet.
Come along. The Great Valley is filled with green food like this, more than you could ever eat, and more fresh, cool water than you could ever drink. It is a wonderful, beautiful place where we can live happily with many more of our own kind.
Gee, when will we get there?
The bright circle must pass over us many times, and we must follow it each day to where it touches the ground.
Littlefoot carries the leaf.
Have you ever seen the Great Valley?
His mother turns to face him.
No.
Well, how do you know it's really there?
Some things you see with your eyes. Others you see with your heart.
I don't understand, Mother.
You will, my son. You will.
Taking a deep breath, he sucks the leaf towards him. He peers about.
Littlefoot, don't you wander too far.
He spots the baby Triceratops charging at the horned nose of its parent. The baby gets distracted by a bug and paws the dirt like a raging bull before charging at the flying insect. The baby plows into several rocks without catching the bug. Littlefoot beams.
Hey!
The Triceratops is too absorbed in the bug to notice Littlefoot. When it's about to be eaten, the insect squirts the Triceratops and flies away.
What are you laughing at?
The Triceratops paws at the dirt and menaces Littlefoot. Littlefoot leaps out of the reeds and does the same. When they charge at each other, the Triceratops' parents intervene, stepping between the two babies. Littlefoot shrinks away.
Littlefoot!
Come, Sarah. Three horns never play with long necks.
Littlefoot!
Three horns never play with long necks!
The baby's parents lift them in their teeth and back away from each other.
Long neck? Mother? What's a long neck?
Why, that's what we are, dear.
Oh. Well, why can't I play with that three horn? We were having fun.
Well, we all keep to our own kind. The three horns, the spike tails, the swimmers, the flyers. We never do anything together.
Why?
Well, because we're different. It's always been that way.
Well, why?
Oh, don't worry so much. When we reach the Great Valley, there will be many, many long necks for you to play with.
I wish we were there now.
Well, it's a long way yet. Past the great rock that looks like a long neck, and past the mountains that burn. Still a long way, but we'll get there.
The sun sets beyond a plain of dead trees. In moonlight, a dragonfly flits over Littlefoot's sleeping family. A frog leaps to catch the dragonfly and wakes Littlefoot when it lands right next to him. It gulps down its catch.
Hey, Hopper, come back!
Littlefoot chases it.
Hey!
You again? Go away! That's my Hopper.
I saw him first.
Well, he's in my pond.
Sarah slides into a bubbling brown pond, and Littlefoot follows. Several frogs pop up around them, but then vanish underwater, leaving only ballooning bubbles that magnify their blinking eyes. The baby dinosaurs hop on the bubbles as they rise.
Over here!
Hey, this is fun!
A shadow looms over the bubbling pond and the tiny babies playing in its center. The ground shakes. Scamper away from the stomping clawed feet of the Tyrannosaurus Rex that's hunting them. They hide in some thorny brambles, baffling the sharp-toothed predator, who squints one eye. Its other eye glows red as it peers down through the tangled thorns. They back away as it tries to sniff them out. The T-Rex's snout pushes down on the branch the babies are crouching under. Littlefoot urges Sarah away through the brambles.
This way.
Come back!
You're going the wrong way!
They burst into the open. Littlefoot strains against some vines blocking his path as the T-Rex snaps at his heels. He pushes through the vines and they flick back in the dinosaur's face, giving the baby some time to run. The T-Rex leaps after them and is snarling over them when a huge tail sends him flying. It's Littlefoot's mother fighting back. The T-Rex gets up.
Mother? Run! Run!
It thunders towards Littlefoot's mother. The babies run clear of the stomping feet of the larger dinosaurs. Littlefoot's mother flicks the T-Rex back again with her tail, but he leaps onto her back. She flings him off and squeezes beneath a fallen tree while trying to escape. He pushes through it and snaps at her, but she bats him away with her tail, sending him sliding down a cliff face. She runs away with the babies, but beneath their feet, the dry ground begins to quake and crack, and a long rift in the earth travels towards Littlefoot and Sarah. The ground crumbles beneath Littlefoot's mother, and the T-Rex comes stomping back up the mountain, chasing the babies that can barely keep ahead of its clawed feet. The babies get lifted on one of the T-Rex's feet, then slide off it as the ground splits and belches a spurt of molten rock. They all slide off their quaking piece of cliff top. The babies grab the T-Rex's tail as they fall. They run up the back of the slipping T-Rex and scamper onto the crumbling cliff top, which keeps sending them back towards the predator's snapping jaws. Littlefoot's mother bats the T-Rex away, letting it fall to the ravine below as she scoops up the babies between her teeth and sets them down on a quaking plateau. Sarah's parents roar in reply to her squeal, and all kinds of dinosaurs scatter as huge tremors break the ground into pieces. Sarah nearly falls off a ledge.
In this time of the clash of continents, a great earthquake split the land. Herds were divided. Families were cut in two. Littlefoot was separated from his grandparents.
Clouds of dust billow around collapsing cliffs on either side of a deep rift.
Sarah was on one side of the divide. Her parents were on the other.
Littlefoot's alone.
Mommy!
He goes out to the edge of a precipice and looks around in the rainy darkness.
Mommy!
Leaping to the ledge opposite, he almost doesn't make it and has to scrabble to haul himself up. She's lying down.
Mother!
Mother?
Oh.
Please get up.
I'm not sure I can, Littlefoot.
Yes, you can. Get up.
She tries, but collapses again, and her rock ledge crumbles beneath her. Lightning flashes above them.
Dear sweet little. Do you remember the way to the Great Valley?
I guess so. But why do I have to know? You're gonna be with me.
I'll be with you. Even if you can't see me.
What do you mean, if I can't see you? I can always see you.
Littlefoot, let your heart guide you. It whispers. So listen closely.
Lightning flashes over her motionless body.
Mother? Mother?
Rain streams down around the hulking form of Littlefoot's mother, silhouetted against the stormy sky. The rainstorm passes and day breaks over the ravaged landscape where Littlefoot's edging along a rocky ridge above a deep ravine. Sliding over the edge, he smacks into a large olive-green dinosaur with stubby spines along its back.
Hey!
It throws him off.
What's going on here? What's your problem? You're not hurt.
It's not fair. She should have known better. That was a sharp tooth. It's all her fault.
All whose fault?
Mother's.
Oh, I see. I see.
Why did I wander so far from home?
Oh, it's not your fault. It's not your mother's fault. Now, you pay attention, old rooter.
Yeah, but...
It is nobody's fault. The great circle of life has begun. But you see... Not all of us arrive together at the end.
What'll I do? I miss her so much.
And you'll always miss her. But she'll always be with you. As long as you remember the things she taught you. In a way, you'll never be apart. For you are still a part of each other.
My tummy hurts.
Well, that too will go in time, little fella. Only in time.
Old Rooter plods away. At sunrise, a red berry gleams on the end of a branch, and a blue baby pterodactyl flaps up to pluck it in its beak. A brown baby pterodactyl tries to steal the berry. Then a gray baby tries, and a purple one joins in. They dart in and out of holes in the berry tree trunk, taking turns to steal the shiny fruit. The purple baby flaps up to the branch with the berry, and the others grab its feet and climb towards the fruit. Yet another baby swoops in to take the berry from all of them. They follow the leader down a hole in the ground, passing the berry back until it's snatched by the long tongue of a tortoise-like creature. The pterodactyl parent emerges from the hole with berries for everyone, then swoops away as the babies parade past Littlefoot, who's lying down with his head on his paws and his face drooping.
At first, Littlefoot could only think about his mother. He hardly noticed his hunger and forgot about the great valley and that he must somehow reach it.
The gray pterodactyl baby returns to Littlefoot and pushes its berry towards him with a smile, but Littlefoot doesn't respond. He turns his face away and sighs. A leaf on the wind.
Littlefoot.
It's a starry leaf, sparkling with dewdrops, like the one Littlefoot's mother found for him. It spirals down between spiky columns of rock to the desert below, where Littlefoot's huddled up in a huge footprint, like a crater in the barren earth. Shedding tears, he rubs himself against the edges of the footprint, then climbs slowly out of it, looking back with his eyelids drooping. A starry shadow floats across him as the leaf drifts down to earth.
Littlefoot.
The leaf rocks from side to side on a current of air, then settles in the middle of the footprint. Littlefoot steps close and watches the dewdrops collecting in the center of the leaf until they formed a reflective pool in which he can see his own face.
Dear Littlefoot, do you remember the way to the great valley?
He shakes his head.
Follow the bright circle past the great rock that looks like a long neck and past the mountains that burn.
He nods at his reflection.
I'll be in your heart, Littlefoot. Let your heart guide you.
Picking up the leaf between his teeth, he drags it away in the orange light of sunset. He stops on a rocky point and looks out.
Mother!
A tall shadow on a rock face.
Mother!
Littlefoot bounds towards it. The shadow moves as Littlefoot moves and shrinks to his size as he gets closer to it. Beaming at it, he licks the shadow on the rock face. His eyes widen when his tongue contacts the stone. Then he backs away and hangs his head.
Then Littlefoot knew for certain that he was alone, and that though the great valley was far away, and the journey there was perilous, he would have to find his way, or the chain of life would be broken.
Sarah!
She too is casting a tall shadow on the cliffs in the evening sun.
Sarah! Hello!
What do you want?
Nothing. Where are you going?
I'm going to find my own kind. They're on the other side.
I've looked all over here. You can't climb up the other side.
Maybe you can't.
Wait! I'm going to the Great Valley. We could... help each other.
A three-horn does not need help from a long neck.
She slips. She falls in the ravine.
Well, at least we wouldn't be alone.
Well, when I find my sisters, I won't be alone. So go away. Three horns can be very dangerous. And they only talk with other three horns, and they only travel with other three horns.
Picking up his leaf, Littlefoot walks away alone from the edge of the ravine. Smoke drifts across his path, and in the low glow of the setting sun, he casts a long, thin shadow on the cracked earth behind him. Underwater, an amphibious lizard-like creature dives to the rocky bottom and forages for food. It swims to the surface, where Littlefoot's droopy face peers down from a jutting rock, and his tears make ripples on the water.
Hello. I said hello.
Another tear rolls down.
What is your name? Maybe you cannot talk yet, huh? Huh?
Don't you know anything? Long necks don't talk to, or whatever you are.
Me? I'm a long neck too, see? And I have a long tail like you.
She tries to stretch her green tail out.
All right. I'm not a long neck, I'm a big mouth. But I am all alone, I am. I lost my family in the big earth shake.
You want to go with me?
Yeah! Oh, yes, I do.
All right, come on. But you'll have to keep up.
I will keep up. I will.
She hops after him.
Where are we going?
To the Great Valley. I'm not going to stop until I find my grandparents.
Do you think my family went to the Great Valley too? Huh?
Maybe. My mother said it's where all the herds were going.
Oh, I hope.
My name's Littlefoot.
Mine is Tucky. Yep, that is what it is. Yep.
Littlefoot and Ducky begin to hop across the cracked plates of dry ground beneath their feet.
Don't step on a crack or you'll fall and break your back.
Littlefoot grins.
My stomach is talking.
Mine too. I wonder what this tastes like.
He is talking.
No, it isn't.
You should not eat talking trees. No.
A winged bird-like creature slides down the tree. When Littlefoot releases the tree branch, it flings the creature into a hole in the ground.
Who are you?
Huh?
My name, Petrie.
Petrie, huh? Funny name.
I flied?
No, you falled.
I fall?
You cannot fly? But how did you get way up there?
I climb.
But you are a flyer, not a faller.
Hard thing to fly.
He takes a running jump, but fails to lift off.
I guess it is. We can't do it.
Nope, we cannot do that, all right.
At the bottom of the ravine, Sarah's hopping alone from rock to rock. Strange shadows move over her as the sun tracks across the sky, briefly sending a golden ray into the depths of the ravine. Losing her footing, she slides further down and lands near the fallen T-Rex. Rocks tumble down around the motionless predator, and Sarah runs for cover. When she peers out, her mouth gaping, she sees falling rocks bouncing off the T-Rex without waking it. Grinning, she creeps out of hiding and goes right up to the giant dinosaur's head, then sticks her tongue out at it.
No.
She charges at it repeatedly. Taking a big run-up, she paws the dirt and launches herself at the T-Rex. But just as she's approaching one huge closed eye, it snaps open. She's reflected in it. Skidding to a halt, she turns and dashes the other way as the giant predator slowly gets to its feet. Littlefoot and his friends hide as a large lizard-like creature with a spiky sail fin stomps past, flicking out its forked tongue. It moves on, and they emerge from hiding. Petrie leaps onto Littlefoot's back, dislodging his leaf.
Ow! Hey! Petrie, get off!
You got a nice flat head, Flathead.
My name is not Flathead. My name is Littlefoot.
Littlefoot?
Are you just gonna stay up there?
Yes.
Well, you can't.
Whoa.
You're tearing my tree star.
It is very special. Very. His mother gave it to him. She did.
Ooh, mother present. Very important. Oh, yes. I keep safe. Don't let nobody's touch.
Yep, Petrie. You keep it safe. Yep, yep, yep.
Nope, nope, nope. I'm not a carrier. Get off.
Yai, yai.
You're a flyer. Now start flying.
Open your wings, Petrie. Open.
No, no.
You
no,
have wings,
this.
So you can fly.
No.
Now open your skinny wings.
I'm Petrie. Higher. Higher like a flyer.
Danger!
There! Ahead!
Whoa. They run into a dinosaur skeleton caught on some vines and get trapped in its ribcage so that it travels with them when they run onwards. Sarah's bounding the other way, and just before they collide, Littlefoot stops abruptly and the skeleton bones fly off him.
Sarah! It's you! What happened? Why are you so frightened?
Frightened? Me? Why are you so frightened?
We're not frightened. Are we?
Nope, nope. Well, you should be. I could be with the other three horns, but I chose to come back to warn you. I met the Sharptooth!
Sharptooth!
Oh! Come on, Sarah. Sharptooth is dead. He fell down into the big underground.
And that's where he met me. Oh, dear brave Sarah.
Dear brave Sarah.
Yes, I am brave.
Sharptooth is dead.
My father told me that flatheads had very small brains.
Littlefoot turns away.
I was all alone with them in the dark. Just the sharp tooth and me. I could hear him breathing. I could see his one big, ugly eye looking for me.
What did you do? Huh?
I walked right up to him. I looked him straight in the eye and said...
Jumping on one end of a log, she catapults Ducky off the other. Ducky lands far away. Grinning, Ducky peers into some reeds.
Ducky!
A single egg.
Hello.
She strokes the egg, which is bigger than her.
Hello?
As she circles it, it begins to crack, and a green head briefly peeps out.
You should come out. You should. You are late. Yes, you are. Yep.
She opens the egg.
Come out. You are all alone. Are you not scared? Huh?
The yawning baby nods off.
We're going to the Great Valley. You can go with us. Yes, you can. You are a spike tail, so we will call you Spike.
Ducky backs out of the clump of reeds, which quivers. Then Spike peers out and starts to eat huge mouthfuls of reeds, appearing to grow bigger as he eats. He's greenish-brown with a pink underside and knobbly bumps along his back and tail. His head is like that of a turtle. He devours the entire clump of reeds, then sniffs the ground and sinks back down onto it for another nap.
Ducky!
Ducky edges close to Spike.
So the five hungry dinosaurs set off for the Great Valley. There had never been such a herd before. A long neck, a three horn, a big mouth, a flyer, and a spike tail, all together. All knowing that if they lost their way, they would starve or find themselves in Sharptooth's shadow.
The five friends stand at the base of a rushing waterfall.
Tree stars grow where there's lots of water. If we follow this water...
No green foods here, and I'm still hungry.
I'm still hungry, too.
Ducky slips into the stream.
Can you smell something?
I smell. Ducky.
You smell me?
I smell water. I smell... tree stars!
Oh, look! Green food! The Great Valley! I found
Sarah,
it!
Stop it!
Dinosaurs comes thundering down the quaking slope, leaping over the babies in their haste to get to the clump of trees below.
They're eating our food! Look, look what they're doing! They're so greedy! What about me? I'm still hungry!
You hungry? I empty all the way to the top. Now we at the Great Valley and still got no green foods. Oh, we be hungry forever.
Oh, Petrie, Sarah was wrong. This isn't the Great Valley.
Oh, it is not a great anything. Nope.
Well, we better go down and see if there's anything left. Petrie, do you think you could fly up there?
No.
Petrie, do not feel sad. It is all right. Many things do not fly. Rocks, trees, sticks, Spike.
The only remaining greenery is high up in a crooked tree. Licking his lips, Littlefoot starts to climb, and Petrie quakes on top of his head. Ducky climbs up to help.
Whoa! Hey!
No!
Ducky, push Petrie towards the branches.
Ducky throws him upwards.
All right, Spike. Not too fast.
Whoa!
Okay. Hey, not too fast!
Spike boosts them all up higher, and Petrie looks down. Sarah laughs, slapping the ground as she watches.
You four look so ridiculous!
The teetering tower they've formed slowly approaches the leafy canopy. Squeezing his eyes shut, Petrie reaches his flailing webbed arms up into the branches and starts knocking leaves down. Spike catches some on his tongue. Spike and Littlefoot drop down.
Ducky, Petrie, come down here. We've got green food.
Fly, Petrie,
flap your wings.
Spreading his bat-like wings, he floats down onto the pile of leaves and lands on his stomach.
I fly?
Come on, Sarah. We've got green food.
I can get my own green food.
Kicking up the dirt, she charges at the tree trunk, but no leaves fall. She butts the trunk repeatedly with her nose horn, but still has no luck. While she's not looking, Littlefoot drops a clump of leaves from above and starts to eat them as they drift down around her.
See? I can take care of myself. All by myself.
She stomps away.
And I'm not afraid to be alone. I know my way to go. And I'm not afraid of Sharptooth. I hope he doesn't eat any of you.
Don't worry, there isn't any Sharptooth.
Sharptooth. Spike.
Ducky beckons to Spike as she backs away. Sarah scowls as she curls up to sleep on a jutting ledge of rock a little way off from the leafy tree. Littlefoot's climbing into a huge footprint with his tree star on his back, when he looks behind him and notices all his friends cuddling up to Sarah on her ledge. Littlefoot's eyes widen, then droop. He hangs his head and backs away.
Any sharp tooth.
He plods back to his hollow alone. The leaf from his mother has fallen off his back and is lying on the rim of the footprint. With a backward glance, Littlefoot slinks into the hollow made by the footprint and settles down alone on its smooth floor. Sighs, a puff of dust rises from the ground. The others are sleeping in a cluster. Waking with a start, Ducky glares at her snoring friends. She tries blocking her ears, then buries herself under Spike's rolls. Ducky reemerges and shakes her head. With a sleepy smile, she staggers along the ledge and finds her way to the deep footprint where Littlefoot's still lying awake. Hopping into the hollow, Ducky snuggles up to Littlefoot and nestles against his neck. Littlefoot beams and closes his eyes. Petrie wanders in like he's sleepwalking and creeps across Littlefoot's arm, then around his face to hop onto his head. Littlefoot's eyes widen as Spike thunders in and joins the sleepy huddle. Out on the ledge, Sarah wakes to find herself alone. Wide-eyed, she looks all around her, then gasps to see the huddle in the distant footprint on the far side of the tree. She hugs herself for a moment, quivering a little, then slowly gets up and walks towards them. Spike half opens one eye as Sarah slips into the hollow. Littlefoot holds out an arm to welcome her into the huddle. Moonlight shines down on the group in the giant footprint, while above them, a collection of insects and spiders sleep in the treetop. In the pink and purple light of morning, the insects have deserted the tree, but the friends are still sleeping below, now sprawled around the hollow. Sarah wakes abruptly and peers out.
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
Hey, stop that!
Sharptooth.
Sarah, stop it!
He'll eat us! He'll eat us! Run!
Stop! Go back!
They flee as a foot crashes down. A gap in the rock face, but Spike gets stuck. The pouncing T-Rex accidentally pushes him right through the gap, and he tumbles with the others into the ravine on the far side. The T-Rex can only snap his jaws through the gap.
Now will you believe me?
I'm sorry. We're safe now.
Nobody's safe with you.
Look! It's the rock that looks like a long neck. Just like my mother said! We're going the right way! The way to the Great Valley!
They march on in dusky light.
Littlefoot had been wrong about the Sharptooth, but the others followed him. Their only hope was to reach the Great Valley, and Littlefoot alone knew the way.
Ash rains down around Spike and Petrie as they drag themselves up onto rocky ledges, following Littlefoot.
Come on, get up. We're going the right way. Gotta keep moving up.
Oh, you can't quit now. What if the Great Valley's just over the top of these rocks?
Littlefoot forms a bridge with his body.
Though they were sore stomached and tired, Littlefoot urged them on. He'd never seen the Great Valley, but his heart told him that they were close. Surely at the top, they'd behold it finally.
They haul themselves up onto the topmost ledge and peer through a cloud of ash that slowly clears to reveal a barren canyon of rocky peaks.
This is your Great Valley?
You're crazy.
I'm leaving.
Sarah, we have to keep following the bright circle.
I'm taking the easy way for once.
But it's the wrong way!
Who says?
My mother!
Then she was the stupid long neck, too.
Take that back!
Never!
Take it back!
No!
Fighting, they tumble into the canyon.
Spike!
Spike! Stop!
Spike and the others slide down after them.
You!
The fight continues.
Let go of my leg!
Spike, Petrie, and Ducky take cover as Littlefoot and Sarah fight, butting heads and chasing each other around the rocks on the canyon floor. Spike repeatedly buries his head in the sand. Taking a running jump, Sarah knocks Littlefoot down. Tears well in his eyes as he picks himself up.
Go on! Go the wrong way! We never wanted you with us anyway! Come on! We have to keep going!
Littlefoot takes the steepest path.
Come on!
The others hang back.
Sarah's way is easier.
I think so, too.
Scowling, Littlefoot climbs on.
Flathead, wait! No, be angry. Wait!
Petrie tumbles back to the bottom.
Sarah! Wait for us! We're coming with you, Sarah! Sarah, Spike!
They trail away along the canyon floor. Further on, the sky glows orange and purple above a field of active volcanoes. Lava spouts from their peaks and flows between them in bright rivers. The friends pick their way through.
I wish Littlefoot was here with us now.
Me too.
Spike! Spike! Do not stop! We must stay together!
Petrie's riding on Sarah when she stops on a ridge between smoking pits. She backs away from a graveyard of dinosaur skeletons and balances to the end of a rocky point. Pausing at the tip of the point, Sarah peers across a gap to the far side. When she jumps, Petrie slips off her and plummets into the inky pool below.
Whoa! Sarah, I fall off! Sarah, Ducky, Spike, help!
Help! Littlefoot hears.
Sarah, where are you?
He runs towards his friends.
Littlefoot!
Ducky!
Littlefoot!
Hang on, I'm coming!
Spike and Ducky are on a sinking island in the lava flow.
Littlefoot!
He topples a pillar of rock to make a bridge to the shore.
Quick, this way! Hang on, big green!
The inky pool.
Let him!
Ducky! Spike!
Oh, Petrie, I'm so happy!
Dad, Petrie!
Help! Ducky!
Petrie, come on!
They all hang on to each other in a sticky black muck, but their tethering post gives way.
Help!
Sarah's being chased by a sharp-clawed dinosaur. She runs into another, then leaps out from between them, and they butt heads. She lands safely, but is surrounded. Dinosaurs are scared away by a towering black figure stomping towards them with branch-like horns and limbs.
Get away! Get away from me! Stop it! Let go of me! Help! Help! Petrie, Spike, Ducky, help! Sarah, it is us!
Being held upside down by the inky black monster, Sarah gapes and her eyes widen. She sees her friends' laughing faces amid the muck. Pulling free, she falls to earth.
I knew it was you all along! I knew! I did! Oh, get out of my way!
She tries to march away, but slips in the black goo. Sticking her tongue out at them, she collides with a rocky overhang. After a brief scowl, she holds her head high and flounces away.
Sarah?
Sarah, come back!
Sarah was still too proud to admit that she'd gone the wrong way.
Lying down near a waterfall, she rests her drooping head on her arms, then buries her tearful face in them. Underwater, swimming turtles scatter as a huge foot stomps into their midst. It's Littlefoot, crossing a sparkling pool at the base of a ravine. Petrie, Ducky, and Spike are all with him. Ducky twirls and dives in the water, but the others make slow progress, especially Petrie.
Sharptooth!
It's Sharptooth!
They hide.
Let's get rid of him once and for all.
What'll we do?
Look, we'll coax him to the deep end of the pond. He can't swim with those scrawny arms. Me and Spike will go up and push that big rock on top of his head, and then he'll fall off into the water.
Petrie, you whistle when he's just at the right spot, where the water gets dark. Now we need some bait.
Me? Oh, no. No, no, no. No, 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 no.
The T-Rex's shadow looms ahead of him as he enters the ravine through a system of caves. Ducky creeps tentatively behind him, casting a tiny shadow in comparison. Ducky wets her lips. Ducky hides, cowering behind a rock, but when she peers out, the T-Rex has gone. Blinking, Ducky climbs out from behind her rock, then slowly backs away from it. The T-Rex pops up behind her and Ducky jumps, then darts between the huge dinosaur's legs and out of the cave. Lunging after her, the T-Rex slides down to the pool.
Ducky! Ducky!
Agile underwater, she swims beneath a rock while the T-Rex thrashes about in the water, stomping in the shallows. Petrie watches from above and tries to whistle. Littlefoot tries to topple the clifftop rock.
Push! Fight! Push with all your might!
Petrie throws a small rock from the cliff face. The T-Rex rams the cliff. The T-Rex snaps at Petrie, then snorts out a gust of breath that sends him flying upwards.
I'm flying!
Dodging the T-Rex's jaws, Ducky ends up on the top of his snout. Petrie puffs out his chest and dives from the cliff into the T-Rex's eye. The T-Rex thrashes about and leaps up to the cliff top, hugging the teetering rock. Sarah charges. Charge helps push the rock over the cliff, and the T-Rex falls with it. But he snaps at Petrie's wing on the way down and drags him underwater too. The friends peer down from the clifftop at the bubbles rising to the surface of the pool.
She was my friend. Poor Petrie.
Hanging their heads, the bigger dinosaurs plod away from the clifftop, but Ducky lingers on the edge.
Poor, poor Petrie. Petrie.
Stop! You go without Petrie?
Petrie.
Ducky leaps in the air.
Petrie! You're safe! Yep.
Clouds swirl in the red sky.
Littlefoot.
One cloud forms the shape of a long neck.
Littlefoot.
Mother!
He's alone on a jutting rock.
Littlefoot.
The cloud disperses.
Mother? I tried to do what you told me. Just too hard. I'll never find the Great Valley. Mother! Mother! Don't go, Mother! Don't go!
He runs after the wispy strands of cloud streaming through a cave in a rocky mountaintop and out the other side. On the far side of the mountain, Littlefoot stops to watch the shape of his mother reform in the dark gray sky. Then a shaft of sunlight breaks through the clouds and illuminates him where he stands. The sunlight spreads to reveal a sparkling stream flowing down from the mountain into a lush valley that's carpeted in green and surrounded by forested peaks. Littlefoot steps towards the edge of his lookout over the valley, his eyes wide.
Great Valley!
His jaw drops.
Sarah! Find Ducky Petrie over here!
They run to join him.
Littlefoot, you found it!
Yep, yep, yep.
We did it! We did it together!
The Great Valley was all they dreamed it would be. A land of green, of leaves, and life. There were waterfalls, grassy meadows, enough tree stars to feast on forever. And grazing upon them, their families.
Ducky's siblings.
This is our new brother, Spike!
They swim around him in a circle. Petrie finds his family.
Mama, I am flyer!
He lifts her in his talons.
Daddy!
Sarah?
She bounds towards her father.
Daddy.
They nuzzle each other. On a hilltop nearby, Littlefoot is with two huge long necks.
And Littlefoot found his grandmother and grandfather at last. The same loving faces he'd looked into on the day of his birth.
A flashback to Littlefoot hatching from his egg and falling asleep on the neck of his mother, then being playfully licked by her huge tongue. Flashback shows him playing beneath the tree star and watching the hopper eat its dragonfly snack on the head of his sleeping mother. He jumps on bubbles with Sarah and dodges cracks in the ground with Ducky. He snuggles with his friends in the footprint and finds his mother in the clouds.
Little Flash! Come on, I'll race ya!
And they all grew up together in the valley. Generation upon generation, each passing on to the next the tale of their ancestors' journey to the valley long ago.
Title: The Land Before Time, directed by Don Bluth. Produced by Sullivan Bluth Studios, Ireland, Limited. Producers: Don Bluth, Gary Goldman, John Pomeroy. Executive producers: Steven Spielberg, George Lucas. Co-executive producers: Frank Marshall, Kathleen Kennedy. Music composed by James Horner. If We Hold On Together, music and words by James Horner and Will Jennings. Produced by Peter Asher. Performed by Diana Ross. With the voice talents of Judith Barcy, Ducky, Burke Burns, Daddy Tops, Gabriel Damon, Littlefoot. I know our dreams. Screenplay by Stu Krieger. Story by Judy Freudberg, Tony Geis. Production designer, Don Bluth. Supervising executive for Sullivan Bluth Studios Ireland Limited, Morris F. Sullivan. Production manager, Thad Wineline. Film editors, Dan Molina, John K. Carr. Storyboard, Don Bluth, Larry Lecker, David Quenster. Assistant directors, Chi Sue Shakespeare, David Steinberg, Russell Bolin. Layout supervisor, David Getz. Background stylist, Don Moore. Directing animators, John Pomeroy, Dave Quenster, Linda Miller, Lorna Pomeroy, Ralph Zondag, Dick Zondag. The animators, Anne-Marie Bardwell, Jeff Etter, Victoria Brewster, Mark Fisher, Colm Duggan, Patrick Gleason, Jean Morell, Kent Hammerstrom, Paul Newberry. Special effects directing animator, Dorse A. Lanfer. Special effects animators, David Bossert, Joey Mildenberger. Character key supervisor, Vera Lanfer. Character key assistants, Ben Burgess, Ashley McGovern. Rough assistant animation supervisor, Kathy Jones. Animation checking, Carla Washburn. Key color stylists, Carmen Oliver, Susan Vanderhorst. In the dark. Production camera optical effects supervisor, Jim Mann, SOC. Xerography Supervisor, Terry Eddings. Voices in order of appearance. Pat Hingle, narrator. Helen Shaver, Littlefoot's mother. Gabriel Damon, Littlefoot. Bill Irwin, grandfather. Candy Hudson, Sarah. Burke Burns, Daddy Tops. Pat Hingle, Rooter. Judith Barcy, Ducky. Will Ryan, Petrie. Assistant film editors, Thomas V. Moss, Fiona N. Traylor. Rough in between assistant supervisor, Tamara Anderson. For you. Assistant xerography supervisor, Michael Murray. Key xerography processors, Robert Byrne, Jared Goggin, Jean Dower. Markup, Sarah Jane King, Maria Farrell. Inkers, Ann Hazard, Karen Stover, Carrie Swanson. Paint Lab Mix and Match, Damian Murphy, Christine Flusky, Melanie Strickland, Noreen Dunn, Andrew Molloy, Tracy Arundel. Jail Painters, Adrian Bell, Gary Callahan, Vincent Clark, Geraldine McGinnis, Brian Doyle, Moira Murphy, Fiona Janelle, Eileen Ridgway. Jail Service, Anne-Marie Daly, Nina Phipps. Engineering, Neil Keaveney. Music performed by London Symphony Orchestra, London, England. King's College School Choir. The Choristers of St. Paul's Cathedral and Ladies' Chorus. Foley by TAJ Soundworks. Foley artists, Dan O'Connell, Alicia Stevenson. Production Accountant, Rachel W. Layton. Assistants to Accountant, Susan Landers, Mary McGrath. Personal Secretaries, Ethne Agnew, Yvonne Costello. Gel Paint Laboratory, Art Color Products. Studio Facilities, Sullivan Bluth Studios Ireland Limited, Dublin, Ireland. Music recorded at EMI Abbey Road Studios, London, England. Original soundtrack available on MCA Records compact discs and cassettes. Copyright 1988 Universal Studios Inc. and U-Drive Productions Inc. An animated leaf falls onto a glistening red surface and ripples spread out from it. Words appear in cursive yellow script, a Don Bluth film. Produced by Sullivan Bluth Studios. An image from the movie E.T. of Elliot silhouetted against the moon, riding his bicycle with E.T. in the basket. Blue and red bars appear around the name Amblin Entertainment.